Hi, all, and welcome to Food. I'm Kate Bittman. Thank you for being here. Questions, comments, feedback? Email us at food@markbittman.com. Also visit us online at bittmanproject.com. Last week, Mark and Kathleen wrote about their explorations in Saga, Japan, where they learned about nori production, soy sauce making, and sake kasu, a byproduct of sake that's used for pickling. Plus, they had some memorable meals, of course. And the excellent writer, Tucker Shaw, shared his thoughts on how to really know your food while you're cooking it, with the addition of a jar of tiny spoons on your counter. Taste the stew as it cooks, he writes. Taste the sauce as it reduces, the pasta as it boils, the fish as it poaches, the stock as it simmers. Pay close attention to how your body and mind react. Sense it, feel it, name it, remember. BittmanProject.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm on vacation this week, and Mark, of course, is in Japan, so I thought it would be a good time to rerun our interview with the esteemed Alice Waters. This interview between her and me and Mark originally ran a year and a half ago, and it was personally quite warm and fuzzy for me to witness the friendship that she and Mark have cultivated over the years. I'll pivot to Mark's original intro to Alice in a sec, but first let's take the next set of questions from food stylist Barrett Washburn. Last week I talked to him about how he got into food styling and how he feels about it, why pots and pans always look so clean on TV, and how to get your pots and pans really clean. This week, we talked about how much food is thrown out versus eaten on a photo shoot, the best way to make something look like it's fresh out of the oven, and food styling tips and tricks. So here's Barrett, and then on to Alice Waters. How much food is thrown out versus eaten on a shoot?
It really depends on the shoot. The majority of my work is mostly editorial. So editorial means things don't have to sit on set for a long time. You know, if it's an advertising job or product images or packaging, things like that, like it'll have to sit there for hours and hours, a whole day. So it's literally not safe to eat anymore. But the majority of what I do, like for like New York Times or magazines, like the food is delicious and I hate wasting food. And there's lots of people in that studio that are very happy to take things home. So like most of my shoots, we really waste very little, if anything. We compost, we have food pantries that'll come pick up extra stuff. But there are some times when it just has to go. Like if your turkey is sitting on a table in a TV show or a commercial for hours, you obviously are going to make people sick. So there is actually way less waste than people think. I think a lot of people think that those weird forward emails that like your mom sends you about food styling, that's like, we use motor oil on pancakes and we use shaving cream for whipped cream. Like nobody does that anymore. Like that is back when like everything was film and people were taking like Polaroids of the image before they took the film photo and things were sitting under hot studio lights. Now, you know, lights are all like LED and everything's cool and we have Photoshop if necessary. There's not as much waste as people think.
I've been to a lot of Today Show segments for various authors and I always love how the production team just like comes up on the table like animals after the segment's done. It makes me so happy. Everybody's so excited when there's a food segment.
No, people are savages. They just like descend and it's gone.
So I guess this question, how much real food gets used in unconventional ways to enhance what's being styled?
We do use some real food. I always brush a little bit of olive oil on something to give it a glisten. Like, honestly, the best way to make something look like it came fresh out of the oven is spray some Pam on it. You know, sometimes we might need to like fill a bowl on the bottom with like instant mashed potatoes to like make the soup level come up, or, you know, really be able to place like some meat on top of the surface so you really see everything. Well, this is an old school thing and I don't think you really do this much anymore, but an old school food stylist taught me if you put Karo syrup in like a red sauce, it makes it more shiny and glistening. It doesn't like dull out over time. If I'm doing Thanksgiving turkey, you know, that like neck portion that always kind of like droops in where it's just the skin, I'll take chicken breasts and put them in that crevice when I cook the turkey under the skin there so it doesn't collapse in or like overly brown. So yeah, I mean, there's certain food things. I try not to use non-food things because I don't want to waste the food, back to that.
Well, because then no one eats it.
Right. And it's not necessary.
Hooray for Barrett Washburn. We love him. There will be more from him next week. And now here's our interview with Alice Waters.
Oh, you could say that stupid thing about how today's guests needs no introduction, huh? But we promised you someone awesome this week, and we have with us Alice Waters. What can you say? Let's see. I'm winging this. Alice Waters founded Chez Panisse 50 years ago, roughly. Chez Panisse has been, in my estimation, among the five best restaurants every year since it's been founded. I've been going there for not quite 50 years. I think the first time I went was in 73, 74. So I've been going for a while. And when I lived in Berkeley 6 or 8 years ago, I was going all the time. But it doesn't matter. Chez Panisse is really, really good, consistently among the best because of Alice's talents and Alice's ability to recognize other people's talents, but for other reasons too. Because if you want to consider not just your eating experience, but the overall importance of a restaurant, Chez Panisse has been the most important restaurant in the United States over the last 50 years. Alice's attitude toward cooking, toward serving, towards sourcing, especially dealing with farmers, has been exemplary, amazing, exceptional. And that's been a really important thing. But Alice never stopped with Chez Panisse. Alice, as you all know, created Edible Schoolyard, and that is an important thing in and of itself. She argues that food should be at the center of every education. That's what edible education means, that kids should do their learning around subjects like food, that you can learn math and history and sociology and everything else through food, and that is a good way to learn that. That's a solid argument. Alice didn't stop there either. She is now arguing correctly that food is about democracy and that equal access to food is more important than equal access to anything else. So if you want a fair and just society, you have to talk about equal access to food. And Alice is doing that. I will stop because we'll cover a bunch of this stuff. I think that really sums it up, though. You have a woman who founded a terrific eating restaurant with great principles, took those principles and applied them to a second project that was pioneering called Edible Schoolyard, and now is working on even more projects. So she's one of my favorite people from a personal perspective, someone I love and adore, has never let me down. And I mean that seriously. Yeah, someone we should all admire, an American hero. Alice Waters. So here is our interview with Alice, and I'll be back with a recipe and with some comments a little bit later. Introductorily, I wanted to say, you know, that we're friends and that we talk. I know we know where each other is at, and we're lucky enough, or at least I'm lucky enough, to know you well. And I know your history, and I know all these things that make you unique and wonderful. But I think attention-wise, Shea Panisse has sort of outshone Edible Schoolyard, but Edible Schoolyard has now been around for 30 years or so, and it's an incredibly important organization. And since its primary focus is on feeding our children well and teaching our children how to nurture themselves, I think it's worth talking about the beginnings of that, how Shea Panisse led to Edible Schoolyard.
Well, one day I got a phone call from the principal of Martin Luther King Middle School, which is on my way to Shea Panisse. Every day I walk by and see this place that looks abandoned with graffiti on the windows and all of that. And I made a comment in the newspaper about how public schools have really fallen apart in the last 30, 40 years. When I went to Berkeley, UC was number one in the country, and public schools in California were number one. Now they're number 47th in terms of academic achievement. And so I guess I wasn't surprised when the principal called me up and said, would you come help me beautify the school? So I went over there, and it was a school that was built on 17 acres of land in 1921. And so it had all of this space. Part of it been turned into a track that was used by the city, but another area had temporary buildings on it because it was built for 500 kids, and they had 1,000 who spoke 22 different languages at home, and teenagers, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And I walked around the campus with Neil Smith, the principal. And I just had this whole vision for what could happen there. Being the Montessori teacher I am, I just immediately thought of a garden classroom and a kitchen classroom, but not for teaching gardening or cooking per se, but for teaching all of the academic subjects. So you could teach history of the Middle East in the kitchen, and you could be cooking pita bread, making hummus and greens. And then I thought about the garden, and math class is, or biology, it's obvious, but it could even be a place for music or art or the history of agriculture. It is so flexible, that kind of space. And then I imagined the cafeteria out on the blacktop, and I told Neil we could build a space that was so beautiful for all of these students to eat in. And he said, oh, thanks so much, Alice. I'll give you a call. And I never expected to hear from him again. And he called me back. He said, "We're ready. We're ready to do it." And he never put any pressure on me to do it in any particular way. He said, "Bring in teachers that you think would be good. Find the right people." And I'm not asking you for, you know, credentials in teaching. I want you to make this work. And he was willing to take all the responsibility for it, which is very, very rare. And I said, "Oh my God, we'll use this temporary building and turn it into a kitchen, clear the land behind it, which was almost an acre, and turn it into a garden." And from the very beginning, students wanted to come and teachers wanted to teach in that space. Here we are almost 27 years later, and without any real work on our part, we have a network around the world of 6,700 schools in countries, not just Japan and Italy and France, but in Uruguay and Saudi Arabia. Unbelievable. But I think everybody relates to the human values that we are teaching. The values that we really need to live on this planet together. And they're all the same. Stewardship of the land, teaching equity, sitting around the table, sharing food. We're teaching beauty, beauty of nature, beauty of food, how precious it is. When they grow it and they cook it, all the kids eat it, no matter what it is. I always say 6 weeks to kale. They really are sort of empowered, I think is the right word. And they're seduced in a way by the aromas of the cooking and all of using all of our senses to experience food. And that is rarely the case in our fast food world. We're not using our senses to experience seasonal food, which is changing all of the time.
I wanted to say before I forget that one of my son's favorite episodes of Mr. Rogers was the edible schoolyard episode. And I had to bring it up because we watched it so many times. And I think it aired in 2000, which was that shortly after you started Edible Schoolyard, maybe 5 years in. And the episode showcases the garden and the kids cooking together. And we just loved it so much. And I wanted to know, was that the moment that you realized that the project had hit a nerve? Or was it before that? Because Mr. Rogers, I mean, that's a big deal, baby.
Well, we were all so excited when he wanted to come. Really, really excited. But we were pretty well established by that time because it started in 96, 95. And we had the classroom and garden classroom, kitchen and garden, both very much part of the whole curriculum of the school. He loved the kitchen. He did.
Just like the most lovable man alive.
Indeed.
Well,
we missed you on the episode, though. I kept thinking, is Alice going to show up? But it was one of his favorites. So maybe it's a sign of things to come.
I hope so.
Really. Where did I meet that guy? I met that guy somewhere, Mr. Rogers. Must have been on the Today Show. And yeah. I had never met him before. And I just walked up to him and gave him a hug, which I don't do to anybody. So he just had that thing. You just had to hug him. It's crazy. I'm wondering when you started to make the connection between Edible Schoolyard and democracy. I can almost remember the first time I had this conversation with you where you began to talk about public education being the last bastion of democracy and the link between what we taught in schools and just defending democracy. And, you know, I'm sure you've talked to her about it, but Frances Moore LePay sort of made that transition too. She now says things like, we don't want to talk about food. We want to talk about democracy, because you can't talk about food without talking about democracy. What was there a transitional period for this, about this for you, or was it a lightning flash, or did you always think this and it just became more present in your conversations?
I guess I've always thought that, but it definitely, the whole public school system has changed so dramatically in the last 30, 40 years. I mean, it's been industrialized like the farms, you know, one size fits all. Everybody has the same curriculum, even though it goes state by state. It's just been taken over by the rules and regulations that you have to follow. And all of a sudden, there are chain link fences up around the schools. There's all of this fear about people coming on campuses and guns and all of the above. And we've lost the sense of community, not only within the schools, but with the community outside. And I just remember when I was a kid in the 50s, you know, the parents always came on the campus, picked up kids after school. There was an informality about meeting the teachers. And it was a shock when I really went into the King School and saw what was going on, because it was so different from my experience. And I really wondered about how are we going to teach our children the values that we need to live on the planet together? How are we going to talk about equity unless we invite all the children to the table? You know, to share food and eat together. I mean, it's just all part of it. It's about really making friends, the boys and the girls, and to have an experience of cooking and gardening when cooking has mostly been associated with girls and, of course, digging in the garden with boys. And you're having this exchange of jobs and you're working together. And it brings these students together in a very different way.
Stay tuned for more from Alice Waters, Mark, and me.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code BITMAN. The notion of public education being the last bastion of democracy. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I believe that because if we don't teach our children the values of our democracy, how are they going to become citizens? How are they going to learn that? It's very difficult for them to learn it at home, especially when two parents are working or one in two people is divorced in this country. What does that mean? And we never talk about it. But the schools are a place to practice democracy, really, to give everybody a chance to speak. Everybody's opinion is valuable. It's the way that we run Chevenix. It's a way, it's about regenerative farming, I dare say, when you realize that every little bug in the soil, every worm, everything in that soil contributes to the health of the vegetable that's grown. And that vegetable then, when you eat it, has the possibility of preparing our immune systems What could be better? That it's delicious, it repairs our immune system, and it addresses climate.
I do love thinking about it as a life cycle like that. And it's, I don't know that people in general think about that on a regular basis, but we've got this children's book called Carl and the Meaning of Life, and it's about a worm.
And great title.
It's really good. And I think the worm gets tired one day and he's kind of like, I don't have a purpose. I'm just going to stop. And then like everything stops. I mean, nothing grows and the world becomes a horrible place. And then he's like, oh, I'm actually really important. But I just love thinking about it that way. And I don't know that many of us do that. It's just such a beautiful thing. The way that you said it was so eloquent.
I really believe it's the senses that are the pathways into our mind. And our sense of taste is extremely powerful. And when you're putting something in your mouth that has just been picked from the tree of fruits or a berry, particularly because they're so irresistible, you kind of are awakened by it. And that's something that we always had in our experience way back before the 50s, even in the 40s. I mean, we didn't have any pesticides in the ground then. And we ate only food that was local. We didn't import anything except coffee, tea, and spices. And maybe we had a date from California and New Jersey at Christmas, or maybe an orange from Florida. But that was it. That's all we had. And so we experienced a tomato in summer that was amazing. And we anticipated its arrival with a lot of excitement. And in the wintertime, we ate differently. Sadly, my mother wasn't a good cook, so it was hard times. But it was always local food, really. I mean, frozen sometimes, or canned applesauce from our tree. But we have to go back there. We do. And I think it's really the place of great sensorial experience to eat exactly in season. And when that's over, you go to the next thing and then the next thing. And you're connected to nature all of the time.
I eat that way, of course. And I was just thinking last night, I made this dish of layered vegetables, and it was the vegetables that were in the house, and it was potatoes and shallots and bell pepper and tomatoes. That's what there is. And I thought, wow, I really miss zucchini. And it's only been about 2 weeks since we had zucchini, but there's not going to be any zucchini until next June or July. I mean, sometimes I do cheat and go to the supermarket and buy a zucchini, but there's not going to be a real zucchini for, you know, 10 months now or 8 months.
Well, I'm shelling the beans right now.
Yeah, we're eating a lot of beans. I'm
freezing the beans so I can have them.
Yeah.
And pulping the tomatoes. That's my favorite.
Well, let's get a recipe out of you just for a second. What do we mean by confying the tomatoes?
Well, I call it that, but it's probably a little bit not the right word. But I put the tomatoes, I just core them, and the skin and all, I put them in a pan very tightly with olive oil all over. And garlic, and I usually throw in some basil as well, some salt. And I let them cook till they're just about falling apart. And then I just slip off the skin, and you have this tomato sauce basically ready for winter.
And you freeze that, yeah?
And I freeze that or can that.
Yeah. Just to go back to one more question about edible schoolyard, I think, is... In those areas where it has been successful, what have parents and community members done to sort of spur on their school systems to take food more seriously?
Well, I can just really talk about King, which has a parent organization that became very involved in helping us at the beginning. But I think that that is the case with many, many, many of the edible schoolyards around this country. And there are schoolyards in every state. I'm just about to go to New York to one in Harlem that was started by one of the original edible schoolyards that we created to have a proof of concept. Would this idea work in a big city? Would it work in a cold climate? Would it work in a hot climate? And so we started one in LA, one in New Orleans, one in North Carolina, one in Brooklyn, and one in upstate New York. And guess what? It works everywhere. And to go to New Orleans and see how the culture of that place is brought into the school through the songs they sing in the garden, the food that they cook in the kitchen classroom. I was so impressed when I went there. And in New York, they built a greenhouse, a movable greenhouse, so they could move it away in the summer and bring it in the winter. They had an architect who designed it, and I was just, again, so taken by that, because we do need greenhousing, like Elliot Coleman up there in Maine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He stays open all winter and grows salads for the schools. And then in the summer, he closes when all those foods are available in Maine. And so we just have to think differently in different climates and different cultures. But we can learn so much from this. I'm excited about the network, and with it, I could go visit all 6,500 schools.
Yeah, that'd be something. I think listeners would be disappointed if I didn't ask how Chez Panisse is doing, especially in light of the pandemic when so many restaurants have had so much trouble.
Well, we're struggling too at Chez Panisse, and I know that we've hired a lot of new young people, but we wanted to keep all of our staff there during the pandemic, all of the key staff, the chefs, the main people from the dining room. And we were able to do that with our stimulus money. And we did food to go. We created a farmer's market next door in the post office parking lot on the weekend. And we were able to really keep all of our farmers and ranchers alive. And that was key to our being able to open again, of course. And it's only been very difficult because of the opening and closing when something new around COVID is revealed or a key person is sick. We can't do without a major chef. And I am happy to say that we have a lot of support from our community and friends. The restaurant's always been a place for local people. And they came regularly to pick up food, to go to the farmer's market. And so we've been able to stay afloat. But it's been strangely difficult to hire people. And even when we pay well and have all of the benefits that we've always had when we run this restaurant in a really collaborative way, it's still difficult. And I'm wondering what people are doing to make a living.
Right. That is a question a lot of people are asking.
And what's the answer, Mark?
You know, there's talk about people getting paid $35 and $40 an hour plus benefits to work in restaurants, but there's also talk of people saying, you know, someone said to me, think of the worst job you ever had and think about how little you'd miss it if you left. And for many people, that's what restaurant work has been like. And I can't speak specifically to Chez Panisse, of course, where things are different. But I think for many people in the restaurant industry, when they stopped working, they thought, oh, I was being paid badly and it was really miserable work. Let's figure out something else. And they figured out something else in a variety of different ways, I think. And yeah, I mean, the big answer is not there. The sort of definitive answers aren't there yet, but they're coming, I guess.
I've always wanted meaningful work for myself. And I figured even when I started the restaurant, well, I loved the idea of it. But if it didn't work, it didn't work. And I'd do something else. And that was the way that we thought about things in the 60s. And I would hope that if there were this stimulus in the public school system to purchase food that was locally available and organic and regenerative, and the people who worked in agriculture could be paid the real cost, I think that could be the most meaningful work, to be in nature, to grow food for children in schools. I mean, grown by people who really understand the values and the way that we have abused farm workers. It's something unconscionable. We need another grape strike.
Yeah.
I think about Dolores Huerta all the time. And she is somebody who was so important to me as an activist, because she was so hopeful and so successful and so caring about the farm workers. And we can be that way again. We can think about where they're living, how hard they're working, just to imagine an agriculture without pesticides and herbicides. This is the 60th anniversary of Silent Spring. Mm. Rachel Carson. And just an aside, I just want to tell you, I'm getting a Rachel Carson George Washington Carver Award in Detroit next week.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
And I'm just over the moon. I don't even know what to say. I mean, I can't say anything. I have tears in my eyes just thinking about it.
Is it even better than Mr. Rogers, Alan?
Well, we will let you go. It's a privilege, as always, and a pleasure to see you and talk with you.
Thank you, Alice.
Bye. I was Alice's editor once. I guess though I was at Cook's Magazine, predecessor of Cook's Illustrated. I remember she did a recipe for turnips with turnip tops. And I thought, geez, what is this? This is nothing. And of course, it was like brilliantly simple and brilliantly good and, as usual, sourced perfectly. And to use my favorite saying of Alice's, you got to take good ingredients and not screw them up. So here's a perfect and seasonal example of that. Alice Waters' colorful carrots with butter and honey. You start with 2 to 4 carrots per person, medium-sized. It's a great if they're a variety of colors and some butter and some honey. You trim the carrots, cut the greens off, leave a little bit of the stem, peel the carrots, but very lightly, wash them. If they're big, cut them in half lengthwise, but you can leave small ones whole. put them in a pan with a half an inch of water over high heat with a small knob of butter per person. I'll take that to mean a tablespoon per person and add salt to taste. Then cover the pan and cook until the carrots are just tender. Remove the lid, lower the heat, add a little bit of honey. In this case, I'd say maybe a teaspoon of per person to taste, let's say. And you cook that, you glaze it. You cook until the water's gone and the carrots are gilded with a shiny glaze of butter and honey. This recipe works for every root vegetable, by the way, and it's wonderful. Remove from the pan and serve right away. Alice likes chervil or dill on top of this. Parsley is also awesome, or a tiny bit of tarragon. Colorful glazed carrots with butter and honey from Alice Waters.
Thank you to the warm and always inspirational Alice Waters. Follow her on Instagram at Alice Louise Waters and X at Alice Waters. Find out more about the Edible Schoolyard Project at edibleschoolyard.org, on Instagram at Edible Schoolyard, and on X at Edible Schoolyard with no A in the yard. We've got Alice's recipe for colorful carrots with butter and honey on bitmanproject.com. You can find that link in today's show notes. And thank you again to Barrett Washburn. You can follow his escapades on Instagram at bwashboo. That's B-W-A-S-H-B-U. Thank you always to Mark and to our awesome engineer, Davis Lloyd. We're back next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.